Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hashtag Heart by Cambria Hebert. Narrated by Eric Michael Summerer and Chandra Sky. She Said Yes, times two, a.k.a. prologue. Hashtag and the award goes to Romeo for the most romantic proposal of all time. Shakespeare has nothing on him. Some hashtag nerds have all the luck. Hashtag waiting for the wedding. Hashtag buzzboss. Romeo. Best game of my entire career. Yeah, okay, it was only my first season, and yeah, okay, I still had a lot of games in my future, God willing. But I knew without a shadow of a doubt that nothing, no game, not even a Super Bowl title, would ever beat out today. Congratulations went around the locker room. I got slapped on the back, the ass, and in the head so many times you'd think it would get old. I was too happy for that. I was even too happy to be bothered by the ribbing and snide remarks I heard from a few corners around the room. Fuck them. Rimmel was going to be my wife. I felt my mouth pull into a wide, toothy grin. Hells yeah. I thought back to the moment I first realized she was it for me. The night at the animal shelter, when she sat on the floor, soaking wet from the rain, and Murphy crawled into her lap. She'd pulled her hair out of her face and looked up at me. It was game over from there on out. I was hers. Even so, I'd been a little nervous tonight before the game. Asking a girl to marry you on live television in the middle of a giant football game was sort of a gamble, especially for a girl like Rim. She liked her privacy. She liked to blend in. Rimmel didn't know it, but she was destined to stand out. Without even trying, she'd become the darling of the football world. The cameras loved her and got at least one shot of her sitting in the stands at every game she came to. They watched her clothes, her hair. Hell, they even talked about her glasses. She was an unlikely fixture in the center of a football game. She wasn't a model, a celebrity, or even someone who wanted to draw the public eye. And for that, people loved her. She was the girl next door, the one that everyone knew. People related to her in ways they couldn't to all the other football elite. I'd been planning to ask her to marry me for a while now. I'd just been waiting for the right time. Then shit hit the fan at home. Zach was released. He went after Ivy, tried to kill her, and almost did. Braden made it just in time to save her life. When I walked into her hospital room and saw her lying there, battered and bruised, it served as a heavy dose of reality. We weren't guaranteed any amount of time on this earth. We weren't promised another day, another chance. It sealed the deal for me. I couldn't wait any longer to claim Rimmel in every possible way. I called up Ron Gamble and told him I was ready. He'd been thrilled. Back when he set up a false press conference for me and basically helped me nail the bastards trying to extort money out of me in exchange for Rimmel's life, I'd made him a promise. I promised when I proposed, I'd do it during a game. He wanted huge media buzz, and he knew this way he'd get it. So tonight, during the game, I did it. Right there in front of thousands of cheering fans. God damn, she looked so adorable in her purple knight's hoodie and glasses. The surprise in her eyes was real, and so was her emotion. The second I slid that ring onto her finger, my entire world felt complete. As soon as I finished changing, I tossed all my shit into my bag and headed for the door. I wanted to see my future wife. "Someone's getting laid tonight," one of the guys hollered as I walked toward the door. "Hells yeah," I yelled, and left them all to their dirty jokes and exaggerated moans. Those guys were a bunch of pervs. I loved them. Well, almost all of them. I stepped out into the quiet tunnel that led to the parking lot. I imagined Rimmel waiting out there for me and quickened my pace. Some movement in the shadows against the wall had my steps faltering, and a small figure stepped out into the light. I grinned. "How'd you get in here?" She mock gasped and pressed a hand to her chest. The rock I'd just put there glistened under the light and shone brightly.
"Don't you know who I am?" she intoned.
I pretended to think it over. Can't say that I do. She started forward, her eyes never once leaving my face.
I'm the future wife of the best player on this team.
Ah, I drawled. I thought you looked familiar. I dumped my bag at my feet and held open my arms. Get the hell over here. She laughed and ran at me. I caught her midair, and her legs fastened around my waist like she didn't even have to think about it anymore. She just knew where she belonged. Mrs. Anderson, I growled.
Not yet,
she sang. Soon. The word was almost lost between us when I covered her lips with mine. Her lips parted instantly, and my tongue sought hers eagerly. My fingers tightened on her hips as we went at each other right there in the tunnel. Rim's hand fisted in my hair, and my mouth assaulted hers. A few steps, and I pinned her back against the wall, using my chest to hold her in place, and ripped my mouth free to trail hot, wet kisses down her neck, and then up to nibble on her earlobe. Her core rocked against my waist, and she groaned with need. Impatient, her hand slid between us and started traveling low, but she couldn't reach the part of me she wanted most. The distressed sound that tore from her throat made me laugh. I stepped back just enough so she could slide down my body. The way she felt rubbing along my front was damned intoxicating. When her hand found and squeezed the rock-hard erection beneath my sweats, my body jerked. Come on, I said, hoarse. I got us a suite at a nearby hotel. It's got lots of nice amenities, but we're not going to use them. Her teeth sank into her lower lip with anticipation. Show me, I demanded, possessiveness flaring inside me like some incurable disease. Rim knew what I wanted, and she lifted her hand and held it out between us. The engagement ring took over her small fingers. I'd gotten as big a diamond as I dared, knowing if I went too big, she'd refuse to wear it. Hell, I knew the 3-carat stone I'd gotten was probably more than she would have wanted, but I didn't care. That ring represented so much to me. It represented my love for her. It represented me. It represented what we were to each other. And yes, I admit, it was also a large warning to any guy who ever dared to look at her. Hell, they'd be able to see the glittering center stone and smaller stones around it from across the room. It was a giant "She's Taken" sign right there for every man to see. I liked it. It brought out my primal side. It brought out my continued need to claim her. You like it? I whispered, taking her hand and lifting it to my lips.
I've never seen anything so beautiful, she whispered, as I pressed a kiss to the ring and her hand.
I grunted. I have. She bestowed upon me a brilliant smile. I picked her up and moved over to dangle her upper body over my bag on the ground. I need my bag, Mrs. Anderson. She laughed and picked it up. Her laugh turned into a screech when I pulled her up and flipped her body so I was able to carry her against me.
You can't call me that. We aren't married yet, she said, settling my bag in her lap.
Want to fly to Vegas tonight? She laughed, but when I didn't join her, she glanced up and sucked in a breath.
You're serious?
That's a heart attack.
We can't just fly to Vegas.
The hell we can't. Tomorrow is my off day. We could be married by morning.
You'd marry me tonight.
I laughed. I'd marry you right the fuck now if I could.
I love you, she said,
her eyes filling with tears. Whoa! I pulled back when she tried to come at me for a kiss. What's with the waterworks? She giggled and blinked.
I just can't believe I'm so lucky.
Is that a yes to Vegas? I asked, hopeful. She chewed on her bottom lip and then nodded once. I actually jolted in surprise. My feet stopped working and I stared at her in shock.
Did you just say yes? No, silly, she laughed. I already said yes, out there on the football field.
My heart actually turned over. You'd marry me tonight.
I'd marry you right the fuck now,
she echoed my own words. I love it when she says fuck. I grinned like the goofiest motherfucker on the planet. She made me so stupid happy. I never in a million years thought she'd actually agree to go to Vegas and marry me tonight. God damn, it was a powerful feeling to know she loved me as much as I loved her. I started running to the car. She squealed and hung on to the bag in her lap as it knocked around. Outside, there were a gaggle of reporters all hanging around, just waiting for us to emerge. My steps slowed to a quick walk when I saw them. I should have thought about this. I should have expected the press to be right here. Hell, they were always around. They rushed us, shoving cameras and lights in our face. Rimmel shrank against me, and I tightened my grip. I didn't want to deal with this right now. I wanted to continue being stupid happy. But these people were stupid annoying. But I smiled anyway and turned to face them all, holding Rim. "Just practicing for after the wedding," I joked. They all laughed and snapped some pics. One of the female reporters pushed close. "Let me see the ring." Rimmel glanced at me and then held out her hand. More camera bulbs went off. "If you'll excuse us," I said. "We have plans." I spun and deftly moved through the crowd. At the Hellcat, I tossed the bag into the back seat and then more carefully placed my life in the passenger seat, taking care to buckle her and let my knuckles skim across her breasts. Once that was done, I rushed around to the driver's side and threw the cat into motion. Rimmel laughed like she was totally amused, and I tossed her a smile. We made it to the hotel in record time. It was the nicest one in this town. I booked the honeymoon suite and asked them to fill it with white roses. When I told them my name, the lady almost pissed her pants with excitement. So I chatted her up, charmed her, and got Rim a couple more dozen roses for free. What can I say? It's a gift. I pulled up to the front entrance and tossed the keys to the valet as I jogged around to get my girl. It was the first time I'd ever let a valet driver handle my car. Right now, I could barely think straight. I wanted to be alone with her so bad. I grabbed her hand and all but dragged her inside to the sweeping three-story reception area. A huge glass chandelier hung down in the center of the room, and two grand staircases with wrought iron railings filled the back wall, each staircase leading in a different direction. Rimmel's breath caught, and her footsteps slowed the second she saw the opulence. I left her there to stare as I checked in at the desk and claimed the room keys. The woman at the counter was all smiles and went on about how she watched mine and Rim's moment on TV and made sure the room was set up perfectly. I made sure to slip her an extra 20 before retreating to Rimmel's side.
"This place is amazing,"
she breathed out as I ushered her into the elevator, craning her neck so she could see every last sight before the doors shut us in. Our suite was on the top floor, so it took a couple minutes to make it up there.
"Wait."
Rimmel frowned when the doors pinged open, and I took her hand and led her into the hallway where there was a single set of white double doors.
"I thought you wanted to go to Vegas."
The elevator closed behind us, and I picked her up, holding her out in front of me like she was a doll, her feet dangling above the floor.
"You'd really go?"
Her eyes softened.
"I'd go anywhere with you."
I gathered her close and folded my body around hers. Damn. Sometimes she just got me exactly where I was the softest. The raging lust I'd been feeling dimmed to a dull roar, and emotion swelled up within me. There were just no words to describe what she was to me. Oxygen to a suffocating man, an umbrella in a rainstorm, light in the darkness. None of those even came close to the way I loved her, to the way she made me feel. I hugged her tighter for long seconds more and then pulled back. She tipped her chin and looked up. "As bad as I want to fly to Vegas and claim you right now, I can't," I groaned. Her forehead creased, and I leaned forward to kiss it. "I can't be that selfish. You deserve better than a quickie I do with some Elvis standing in front of us. You deserve more than a bouquet bought at some cheap chapel that imports flowers by the dozen. I want you to have the wedding of your dreams with all our family around us."
"I don't need fancy flowers and a huge fairy tale,"
she smiled. All I need is you. And that's exactly why you're getting everything. I kissed her nose. You're just scared of what your mother will do if she finds out we eloped. I grimaced. God, she'd have my balls. Rimmel laughed. I growled and backed her against the room door. Woman, are you saying you think I'm scared of my mother? I am, she teased. A little of the laughter left me. Aw, baby. Shh. She pressed a finger to my lips, and I sucked it into my mouth. It didn't escape my notice the way her hips tilted toward my body as I massaged her flesh with my tongue. When I released her finger, her eyes were heavy with desire once more. I swung her up into my arms and slid the key card in the door. When it clicked, I held it open a crack with my foot. How about we set a date tonight, then go home and tell everyone tomorrow?
I'd like that, she whispered.
How fast can you put together a wedding? I asked. She laughed.
Fast?
I kicked open the door and carried her in the room. She gasped the second her eyes left mine. I was good. Like, really good. The suite was the entire top floor, with a huge wall of windows that looked out over the lit-up city. The view was incredible, and all the lights on the buildings looked like stars against the night sky. If the view wasn't amazing enough, the room was glowing with the soft radiance of candles the staff had lit before we arrived. White roses filled the space. Vase after vase sat everywhere, and the entire place smelled of fresh-cut flowers. I took a chance with the roses. I knew they weren't her favorite because Zack had sent her some to lure her out one night. But those were red. Not the color of love for us, but the color of blood. These were white. Pure. Just like her and the way I'd always feel about her.
Oh my goodness, Romeo.
Rimmel breathed and all but jumped out of my arms to go over and finger one of the large bouquets nearby.
Did you do all of this?
Like I said, I want you to have everything.
You are everything. All of this is just...
She looked around once more.
It's extra.
She looked gorgeous, standing there amongst a sea of white roses and candlelight. With her in the room, I didn't notice the million-dollar view. God, I wanted her. As if she could read my mind, Rimmel reached for the hem of her hoodie and t-shirt. Slowly, she stripped them away, letting the clothes fall to the floor. Next, she reached for the button on her jeans, popping it open and sliding down the zipper. I watched silently, need hammering in my veins as she stripped. Once the jeans were gone, she stood before me in nothing but white lace panties and a bra. Her dark hair fell behind her shoulders like a dark backdrop for the creaminess of her skin. Holding my gaze, she reached around behind her and unclasped the bra to let it slide down her arms and fall away. My mouth went dry. My eyes fastened on the perfect roundness of her breasts. I ached to touch them, to fill my mouth with her flesh and feel her body arch against mine, offering up even more of herself. I stepped forward, and she made a sound of protest. With a wicked little smile, she reached for her panties, stripping them away with painful precision and blatant lust, standing completely naked before me. I watched with rapt attention as her little hand slipped over the flat front of her abdomen, across her hip bone, and down past her belly button. I licked my lips when her fingers delved into the dark patch of short curls right above her entrance.
Rim, I growled.
I was going to explode in my damn pants like a 15-year-old. Not only was she going to be my wife, but she was giving me a strip show, and now she was feeling herself up?
Damn.
She smiled a little as her hand moved farther down, disappearing between her thighs. She let out a soft sigh, and her nipples tightened. I practically tripped over my own feet rushing across the room. I saw her about to tell me to stay back, but fuck that. I was done listening. My hands spanned her narrow waist, and I lifted her and tossed her over my shoulder. She giggled as I carried her back to the bedroom, but the second my hand slid between her legs from behind, her breath caught, and she lifted her little ass to give me better access. That was better. Much better. If this was any indication of how married life with Rim was going to be, then I was one lucky bastard.
Rimmel. Best night ever. And, as if the memory of Romeo proposing in the middle of a televised football game, literally sweeping me off my feet, and then making love to me on a literal bed of white rose petals over and over again wasn't unforgettable on its own, there was this huge sparkling diamond on my finger that would remind me every single day for the rest of my life. I'd been staring at the diamond for hours, never growing tired of the way it sparkled. The center diamond was round, and frankly, too big, and was surrounded by smaller diamonds. The band was thin and simple, with more sparkling diamonds. Sometimes when I stared at it, I wondered how such a delicate band could support such a large stone. With a happy sigh, I sat back and turned my head toward him. My hair smelled like roses because of all the time we'd spent rolling around in the petals. Romeo's large, warm hand covered mine, and I smiled. We'd taken an early morning flight back to Maryland. Most of the Knights were flying back to the state today as well, but we weren't going to where the team was based. We were going home. Romeo only had one off day a week, and today was that day. Coming home for one day wasn't something he did very often, but he'd been doing more of it since everything happened with Zack. I knew the travel and the sleep he wasn't getting was going to catch up to him, and I worried about it. But telling him not to come home would be like telling him to hold his breath for 20 minutes. It wasn't going to happen. Going to his away games was something I didn't do very often either, but lately, it just seemed more important to be with him as much as possible. Lately, it had been even harder to be apart. We'd all changed a lot in the past year and a half, more than I ever really thought possible. We'd grown up, become a family. We had learned what was most important in life. This would actually be Romeo's last short trip home, because his first NFL season was almost over. Soon, it would be the off-season, and he'd be able to come home and stay there longer than a couple days. I looked forward to that day fiercely, but I was still so incredibly proud of the way he played this season and the success he'd achieved. I couldn't wait to see what the next season and the ones after would hold for him. A few minutes later, the cab pulled onto our street, and I smiled. I knew Brayden and Ivy were going to be surprised to see us. They wouldn't expect us to show up so soon after he proposed. That was partly why we dragged ourselves out of the opulent hotel room after getting no sleep at all and boarded a plane. The other part was because even though neither of us said it out loud, we were still really worried about how they were both doing. It hadn't been very long at all since Ivy's car accident and Zack's death. Being home was just the place we needed to be most right now. The second the car dropped us off in the driveway, I hurried to the front door, fumbling in my bag for the keys. Of course, I dropped my bag, and half the contents spilled out all over the porch.
"What you doing over there?"
Romeo asked, clear amusement in his voice as he stepped up onto the porch behind me. "You know me," I replied as I tried to scoop up my stuff that was scattered about. "Graceful as ever." His large feet and jean-clad legs appeared before me. I paused in reaching for my chapstick and smiled a little because of the déjà vu I was experiencing. I craned my neck and looked up his long, muscular body standing over me. He was smiling, and I could tell by the look in his eyes that he was remembering the moment we met as well. He bent down to help me pick up my things, and our hands brushed together as we both reached for the lip balm. I paused and looked up. It was still there. That jolt of electricity, that surge of chemistry right to my heart. Even now that I was wearing his ring, he still affected me like that first day. I hoped it never changed. But unlike that day, he didn't hurry to scoop everything up and stand. Instead, Romeo fell back on his butt and pulled me into his lap. My things still littered the concrete, and the air was cold and brisk. I didn't notice any of it. All I felt was his large, warm body beneath mine.
"I should have pulled you into my lap that day," he murmured, stroking my hair out of my face. "I should have looked into your beautiful face and known just how badly I needed you."
I pulled my knees closer to my chest, and Romeo wrapped both arms around me, holding me close.
"We were from two different worlds," I whispered.
"I was out of your league."
"No. No. I was out of yours. But we created our own world, didn't we? A world I wouldn't trade for anything."
"I love you," I answered softly. He groaned and pressed his forehead against mine.
"You're killing me, Smalls."
I smiled. He kissed me like we weren't sitting out in the open, like it wasn't below freezing outside and neither of us had any sleep. He kissed me like we hadn't kissed 1,000 times before, but this was the first time, the only time. His lips were full and soft. The way he moved was lazy. Everything around me went hazy. Everything inside me went missing. It was only him and me. The past, the present, and the future swirled around us to create a cocktail of promise, a promise I knew we would both keep. When he finally pulled back, I sighed deeply and snuggled into his chest. His lips brushed over the top of my head.
"Your hands are cold, sweetheart."
"I didn't notice," I murmured. In one fluid movement, he stood and set me on my feet. Within seconds, he'd scooped up my belongings and opened the door with the keys. I went ahead. Hearing the low sound of the TV, I dropped my bag on the floor and hurried into the family room. Ivy's blonde head peeked up from the couch, and her eyes filled with surprise.
"Rimmel!"
Brayden's dark head jerked up and he spun around. I smiled at him, and a huge grin took over his unshaved face. He gave a shout and jumped up and leapt over the back of the couch, sank low, and scooped me up to spin me around. I laughed.
"There's my baby sis, who's gone and got herself hitched."
"Engaged, not married," I told him, smiling. He stopped spinning me, and I pulled back to look at him. His lopsided grin was so cute, I laughed.
"You look good," he said, gruff. "Happy."
"I am." He made a big show of kissing me loud and rather sloppily on the cheek before squeezing me again and then finally putting me down. He turned to Romeo, who was standing in the doorway, amusement clear in his eyes, and scowled.
"You," Brayden growled. "Don't you know you're supposed to ask for a blessing before you go giving out rings?"
Romeo made a rude sound.
"I'm pretty sure I don't need your blessing to get married." "That's my sister."
Romeo glanced at me, and I giggled. He rolled his eyes and sighed.
"Brayden, would you please give me your blessing? The guy you've known almost all your life, and 10 times longer than your sister, to get married to the only woman I've ever loved?"
Brayden didn't miss a beat.
"I'm not sure you're good enough for her."
I gasped, and Romeo gave him the finger. Brayden cackled.
"Blessing given. My life is complete," Romeo muttered.
"Rimmel,"
Ivy called from her place on the couch. "Ignore those boneheads. I need to see that ring. I need details." Ivy looked small, sitting in the center of the couch with a thick blanket piled over her lap. Her blonde hair was pulled up into a messy top knot, and her face was free of makeup. There was a white bandage on her forehead, covering the stitches still in her head, and her broken wrist was cast and lying in her lap amongst the blanket. She looked pale and tired, even though most of the bruises from the accident and her struggle with Zach were almost faded. She still looked a little battered and worn around the edges. It was to be expected, really. She'd had a really hard past several months. Frankly,
I was shocked she looked as good as she...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?